All right, guys, we are back with another episode of Trail Talk. Today we are with Matt Heyer of Aqua Jeep. Is it Aqua Jeep or?
Yes, okay. Aqua Jeep guy.
So. Aqua Jeep guy. Yeah, we're in his, I don't know what year it is, but JT with Bobbed Bed. We're running, we're out here south of Santalo trying to find a way up the East Mesa, but we'll see what we can find. As always, we're on the trail. Everything's being recorded on the Cardo Edge phones, audio-wise. But other than that, man, dude, tell me about your Jeep. This thing is, we're doing like faster than I feel like we should be doing in a Jeep right now.
Well, it can do an awful lot. So, the Jeep, where do I start with the Jeep? It's a 2020 Gladiator. How do I describe it? It's like, kind of like driving like a monster truck. I don't know.
Yeah.
Which I love, you know. I have dreams of one day driving over cars and stuff like that. No. So, but no, it's actually built, I think, specifically for Sand Hollow. In that, it's got an excellent suspension. It's got an RPM suspension. It's double triangulated in the rear, and the front's a three link. And so basically, it articulates and does everything that I want it to do. And it's also got a pretty great breakover angle because of the 42-inch Mickey Thompson Baja Bosses that I'm running. So I love driving this thing over just about everything in Sand Hollow that I can without ultimately destroying it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, and what's crazy to me is, like we were talking on the way out here, like we're on kind of a dirt road right now, and we were going pretty quick, and we would come up on washes, and I'd like be like, oh, crap, like got to hold on to something. This is going to hurt. And then it just kind of whoop. Just flies like over it. Yeah, just like that. It reminds me, see, you could be a Razor guy if you put your mind to it.
I can aspire, right? I love it.
I don't know about that, but. So this was, you were telling me you were originally looking to actually purchase a Bronco.
Well, yeah. At one point, I was thinking Bronco, and then, You know, this popped up. I was thinking about doing the Bronco Raptor way back in the day, and my daughter worked for Ford, so it was kind of like a no-brainer. And then, lo and behold, this thing popped up, and man, I loved it just when I saw it. I was like, you got to be kidding me. And so we made an offer, and then I ended up actually flying with my son to Denver, and we bought it right there on the spot. I took a check with me and bought it right on the spot. And we went from there basically directly to Trail Hero and wheeled for a week. So, yeah, we had a lot of fun doing that. And did a jump on this thing that was ill-advised. So, yeah, it was funny. We were following some friends, and they were, I forget what we just did, but we were on the dunes, and they were on the radios, and they said, full send, full send. And so Julie's like, okay. And I'm behind Julie, so I'm like, okay. So Julie goes off, and we thought it was kind of like one of those, you know, gentle over. No, it was about 12 feet. Up and straight down and then straight over.
Like there's just a drop. No roll, nothing.
It was unbelievable. And the Jeep just took it and just kept on going. So, yeah, the Jeep can do it. Whether or not I can, I'm never doing that again.
So, put someone else in and watch.
I learned a lesson a little bit. Yeah. So anyway,
that's awesome.
But yeah, no. And then I found that certain things I wanted to change, and so I did, and it's worked out amazing. Upgrading to that suspension, upgrading to Bilstein shocks these are like the Ultra 4 M9200 series.
Yeah, they're beefy with bypass and everything.
They're amazing. So I've never had a problem with them. They're amazing. So yeah, it's been great. So I'm going to look for the turn off.
Yeah. Okay. No, that's okay. Fine. We're trying to find our way up on the East Rim here. So
yeah. So I'm looking right now at where we are. We are actually we passed it a little bit, but we can go up. I'm going to watch this, and then we'll go up and take a
look. Yeah, we'll take that other turn up there. Okay.
So East Rim Road is kind of where we're trying to get to. I figured there's got to be a way. So I've got the Cardo Tracks thing on here, actually. And so we have the map of the mountain because we do we led a couple of different trails. We were guides for a couple of trails during Trail Hero. So here's a plug for Cardo Tracks. Go ahead and, be a guide for Trail Hero because you get the map of the mountain for free. It's awesome.
That's awesome. And Cardo Tracks, there's a lot of cool stuff. Like there's, I use Google Maps a lot, believe it or not, but like Onyx and other things. But Cardo Tracks, as far as I'm aware, is like the most up-to-date. So, yeah.
And they've got the most, the most mapped trails.
Yeah.
Anywhere. So, so they've got like, there's a couple that were just cut this year. I think Pat just cut a couple this year, Dominguez Falls and a couple of other trails. And they're already on the map that we had. So
that's awesome. Because Dominguez Falls is one that I'm looking for, and I can tell you it's not on Onyx right now.
I can tell you exactly where that one is. So it's a fun little trail, especially it's super narrow, and it kind of puts you in some weird spots. There's a particular obstacle that we were with a friend, my friend Mike, and he made that trail probably a 9 or a 10 by moving part of the trail. To the left. So, let me see, where am I going here?
It looks like we're cut up here through the valley over there if you look past these rocks, but I don't know how to get there. We'll find out.
Let's go this way.
Yeah. So did you buy this? So I guess for people that don't know, Matt is, I won't say better half, but I will say the other half of Aqua Jeep.
Better half? Not even close, no.
But did you get your Jeep before Julie got hers, or
no? Actually, so it's interesting because I think that there's something really interesting in the way that all sort of shook down. I became a Jeeper after Julie was, and somebody's in our way here.
Yeah, I wonder if we can jump down in the wash or just go around them.
See if I can kind of go around.
This is a. I think it's these folks up here.
Yeah, I think so, too.
Well, anyway, we made it.
Anyway, so Julie always wanted a Jeep. And so basically I said, yeah, sure, let's do that. She's like, I'm a mom. I've always had a minivan. I've always had, you probably heard some of that story before. But
yeah,
basically she's she's kind of tired of all of that, so she ends up going and getting a Jeep, and she gets Roxy and builds Roxy out, and it's amazing, right? So at that point, I was a Ford truck guy.
Okay. So Toby Keith in it?
Yeah, right. I had big old F-250s, if you can imagine. And by old, I mean old, like 76 and whatnot.
Okay, high boy style. Yeah.
High boys. I'm impressed.
Dude, I wanted a 70s Ford when I was 16. I wanted a high boy.
Awesome, man. Dude, I'm amazed, actually.
So, side note, if you go to Best Buy at night, it must be the guy that works there. There's a 77 that's candy red and white.
Whoa.
And I've seen it there like 5 times. And it's like my favorite reason to go to In-N-Out. Sorry. Anyways.
Well, I'm going to take that actually and go there. The kids love In-N-Out, so that works out.
Yep.
But so basically I rebuilt a couple of those old highboys. So I was always a truck guy, and Julie was doing the Jeep thing, and by the way, she wheels a manual.
I know. That to me was, when I went out and did this interview with her, I was very impressed because there's not many people that do anymore.
No. And she's really, really good at it. In fact, that's all that she knows. If I were to put her in this car, she'd be like, I don't know. You know,
we get that constant left foot hitting the floorboard.
She'd be doing that the whole time. But So basically, the more we did it, she started sort of, you know, experimenting and whatnot. And then it ended up, I'm like, man, I'm going to go ahead and do this too, right? Because the Jeep culture, I love the Jeep world. The people that we met in the Jeep world are amazing. I consider us blessed, you know, to be a part of the Jeep world, you know. So I might go ahead and just downshift this thing just for fun. So basically, it's a pretty amazing thing to be in this culture, this world, and people have welcomed us in with open arms and whatnot. So I ended up actually building a YJ.
Oh, really?
So I didn't just build a YJ. I put an LS in the YJ. I put 40s on the YJ and, you know, had a lot of fun with it. And so, that was a good time. And a racer out in Kentucky, a former Ultra 4 guy, actually, I think, saw the Jeep and pinged me out of the blue. And he says, "Hey, is your Jeep for sale?" and you know what the answer to that is, right?
For the right price, everything's for sale.
Everything's for sale, right? So sure enough, I told him, I said, "This is what I'm really kind of looking for, I guess." And he says, "I will have a truck there on Tuesday, and the money will be in the bank account by Friday." And this was Thursday.
You're like, "All right, man, send it. I'll start cleaning stuff out."
You got it. So I did. I sold it to him. And, at that point I started looking. So that's when I started thinking about the whole Bronco thing. And I'm like, man, I don't know. I don't know if I want to go Bronco. Not that there's anything wrong with Broncos. Okay. But, it's not a Jeep. So
no, they're definitely similar, but not the same for sure.
Right. I'm a big solid axle type of guy. I think there's a lot there, right? So
especially for the country we live in, Sand Hollow, there's nothing quite flexes like a solid axle and maintains integrity and stuff like that.
Yep. And these axles, these are actually fusion axles. They're fabricated 10s.
Okay.
And I can't get enough of them. I think that they're pretty amazing. So,
you started looking for Broncos and stuff, and then that's when you kind of ended up just seeing this one. Did you do the same thing that the guy did with your YJ? You just pinged them and were like, "Hey, so is that for sale?"
No. So this one, actually, Julie had seen it, I think, a couple of months before, and he dropped the price, pretty dramatically, I guess, at one point.
Yeah.
So, which made it almost affordable. So I sold another YJ that we had. We had an old runaround YJ,
mm-hmm.
And so I got rid of that. And she hates me for that. She still blames me for that. That was her squirt. She loved that that YJ, and it kind of matched her color a little bit. So. She's not happy with me, probably still. So
that's all right.
Anyway.
I won't bring it up. I'll keep my mouth shut around it.
Exactly. So thank you for that. So I ended up getting that, and the rest is history, I guess. So.
Yeah. And with this happened, you guys had you moved to Sant Hollow yet or no?
No. Okay. This is back in, we were in Arizona at the time. And so we came to Sant Hollow probably twice or three times a year. I mean, at least twice a year. I'm thinking I'm going to go that way.
Yeah.
Curious to see that.
I think they'll probably merge back together, but this way looks definitely more worn. I don't know. It's probably the same.
That's probably the same thing.
Let's find out.
Let's find out.
Exactly.
So basically, We moved out here actually to save money because instead of, yeah, you're right. It does get back together.
Right. Immediately comes back together. We thought we had something and it's like, no.
We're like, hey, this is cool. And oh, no.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, we moved here kind of to save money because we were coming here so often.
Yeah.
So, all my vacation time was here in San Hollow and we can't get enough of it.
It's a really unique and awesome place. Like it just, there's nothing really else like this at all.
No, I think it's so unique, anywhere in the world. I mean, the United States definitely, but the world as well. There's nothing like this type of wheeling anywhere. And, we just wanted to be around it and do it.
So I think a lot of people are, when I first moved here, cause I'm a transplant too, I think a lot of people are. But I was like, oh man, like I feel like kind of a little out of place. Like,
right.
You know, I'm new here. I don't know this. But then like as time goes on, you keep interacting with people and you keep realizing everybody moved here for Sand Hollow at some point. It's just like, was it 15 years ago or was it 3
exactly.
years ago?
Exactly. Everybody's here from somewhere else, right? So
I think it's to the lefty, right?
Yeah, it's a left. Yeah. Oh. So, hey, we're learning.
Yeah,
I mean this is my first time this far east, so we'll see how it goes.
Well, I think we're kind of over here by Declined almost.
No, Declined is way that way. We're
way below it. Okay, you're right. That ridge is. I'm sorry for everybody just listening to this. We are clear on the south side of Sand Hollow.
I mean, we're as far as you can be.
Yeah.
Like south and still be in the park.
Yeah.
And that's kind of where we are right now, man. We're just exploring a little bit.
So. I thought this ridge was that ridge that's like 4 miles that way. So that was my bad.
Dude, you can explore so much out here. It's crazy. I mean, look at this. It's the bench.
Yeah.
In the middle of nowhere. That's pretty spectacular too.
Yeah.
All right. So I'll keep going this way.
Yeah. It's kind of cool. We are this far, but like we were saying, I don't think there's anywhere else in the country that has this many really good trails, even within this. I don't know. What is it? Like 20 miles across the park, maybe. I don't know. It's probably not even that.
Yeah. Yeah. And the level of difficulty that you can achieve on any one of these trails is pretty epic too. So.
Absolutely.
Hold on a second. I am definitely going
the wrong way. Okay, we'll back it up. So when you guys were buying this, did you guys, I got to ask because, you know, this is me, did you look at side-by-side? Did you even consider those? Or were you just like, nope, it's going to be a Jeep or a Bronco? Because you took a Bronco.
I did consider the Bronco, but I didn't consider a side-by-side partly because – You know, having had the YJ, I didn't have a top, and I didn't have doors. And so in Arizona, that is like a bad combination.
Oh, really?
For some of the year, it's great. But for the rest of the year, dude, it is killer. So
just hot?
Oh, super hot. I mean, like ridiculously hot. So... and then if not, like I took it out to KOH, and ran it out there a little bit. Actually, I broke it in there. It was 20 degrees in the morning and I didn't have a top and I didn't have doors or heat. Oh, dude, I was like, so I was looking for something that, definitely had doors, heat, windows that worked. Yeah. You know, so I didn't consider a side-by-side, partly for that reason. And honestly, I think that there's something also that was in my mind. In Arizona and some other places, there's like, a perception.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, I think that I had that perception because of what I've seen and, you know, I don't know. I felt like it was a negative perception at times.
Well, that's why I'm here, man. That's why we're doing this.
Well, yeah. And so, but what's funny is, and I don't know if if you know, people can understand that, but here in this area,
looks like we either go down or up here either way.
I don't know. Yeah, it looks like. But in this area, you know, it's really interesting because that perception, at least to me, doesn't exist.
Oh, I would agree 100%. There's a gate across it. It's probably just a close when you go through type of thing. I can run down and check it out. Hey guys, sorry, I had to restart this recording from the Cardo system. I walked away from my phone like an idiot, and it at that point it disconnected. But what we were talking about before is the perception of, you know, side by sides being a certain type of people, or that's I don't know, that sounds rude to say, but or maybe just the negative perception about side by sides. And I think what we kind of were talking about before, as it wasn't recording, is out here, people are so far invested in the game, in both the side-by-side and the Jeep world, that everybody is, A, you know, committed to seeing this place stay open, as well as, like, you're necessarily forced to rub shoulders with other members of the industry and other groups in the industry just because of how hard everybody is really pushing things.
Yep. Yeah, and I think it is a special place, and everybody gets it. You know, we're all in this together, and, you know, I think that there's something about that, you know, for the rest of the country, too. I mean, we could lose these off-road trails and different locations that we get to go to. You know, so I think it is incumbent upon us to kind of work together and try to, you know, make something interesting happen, or, you know, preserve the way that we get to access these trails.
Yeah.
So,
and I think so like you're saying, the rest of the country as well, that's an issue. The thing that I think side by side owners, or maybe not just side by side owners, but people that go to the dunes, or, let me step back and say this in a way that I want to. I think a lot of the focus on, like, off-road access loss has come from, like, the more traditional four-wheel drive people, which is, like, trails for Jeeps, Broncos, things that are, you know, kind of, as Rich Klein says, more of like a generational, you know, I wheel this trail, my dad wheeled this trail, things like that.
Right.
But what we've seen even this week from the Blue Ribbon Coalition is that Glamis itself...
It's crazy.
It's not. I don't understand it completely.
It's not actually in the boundary of the protected park. When they looked at it at the overlaid map, they were like, "Oh, we can take Glamis."
Yeah. Like, and I think that's something that crowd, and maybe by extension side by side owners, are now going to have to face. Of like, hey, guess what? This doesn't just affect some backwood bob, you know, like this might be coming to me. And that's
right.
You know, necessarily, it's like, I wish I didn't have to get to that point, but like that, there is something there where we have to now be aware of.
I think so. I think it's, you know, it's critically important. Hold on a second. So as we go here, then I think we can go. Is it that way, you think?
I don't know. I don't know where we're at. I feel like it's that way. If we're staying on East Rim.
I think we're going to stay there.
Okay.
So we're just exploring, so bear with us.
It's more fun, to be honest.
It does look more fun. I don't really know what that is, though. I'm going to stay on this way and try to go to Jacob's Fork, if that's maybe that's where we're almost at Jacob's Fork now, I guess. I don't know.
Maybe.
So we'll see. We'll see if we're heading in the right direction. I'm reading my map here, so I could be veering off.
There we go.
That's the way that I have to read this map, you know?
Yeah, go a couple feet and see, you know, did I do it right? Nope. Okay.
Exactly.
Anyways, I'm not happy that we, you know, have these things come up like the Glamis thing, but I do think it's going to bring some attention to people who might not have paid attention before.
Oh, I think so.
And I think that, like I say, we just don't get that kind of like divide here as much because of, we already know what we have that's special. I was going to ask you, how often do you guys go out with people in side-by-sides? And it's not like an accusatory thing. I'm just kind of curious.
Really good question. No, it's a tremendously good question, actually. So we have been out a few times, but not many. I mean, not as many as we would probably like. You know, the hard part is, it's really interesting. When we were back in Arizona, we hosted a meet and greet. I think it was like once a month. It was put on, you know, by Julie and by another friend of ours.
Okay.
And she was a Toyota person.
Okay.
Right? So, guys, Jeep people, Toyota people. It's the same thing as Jeep people and side-by-side people, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah. So, basically, we were in that spot where we were trying to build community. And it was not always easy. And so I feel like the same thing has happened here, you know? So hopefully, you know, we can, build it a little bit better than it was before, but not many times.
Yeah. I think that we have a good start here. I think we have the right people here to make it work. Another thing from back in your Arizona days, Julie was telling me that you guys lost a trail system while you guys were there to just a land closure. And I guess the perception was that a lot of that was due to influx of side-by-sides.
It actually was. I mean, they even cited it. Yeah.
Really?
So I think that they cited that. Yeah. So, we had, it was an area in particular I can remember where there was shootings and all kinds of stuff.
Oh, man.
Dude, I think it's not the crowd that we wheel with here. Let's put it that way.
Okay.
So, does that make sense? It's hard
to. Yeah. No, it's fine. I get it. There's scarier places in the world than Southern Utah for sure.
Oh yeah. So I'm gonna turn that off. That's my daughter. Sorry. I'll call her back in a little bit. But yeah. So it was not a good situation. And then as a result of that, all of the people that, you know, rode out there, it was gone. And so we were kind of like, what the heck? You know, now that that's gone, is there a way to keep side-by-side people off of the other trails so that they're not closed?
Yeah, well, that's a reasonable reaction. I mean, especially if I'm assuming it's BLM or whatever it is in Arizona cited.
I could be wrong, guys.
Okay.
But I seem to recall that was part of, like, whatever was said to the public at the time. So
yeah, and so a reasonable reaction to that is, of course, like, okay, well, how do we stop that from happening again?
Exactly.
You know?
Right. So obviously that probably means that we should, you know, stop side-by-sides or something, which is not really awesome, but
yeah,
that's kind of where people were. So
well, and a lot of people see that way. And it's hard to see it in any way other than that, to be honest.
But right.
What I see on my end of things is a bunch of uneducated people that
a lot of those.
Yep. But I feel like the answer is, ooh, we're getting a little tipsy, sir. I always get a little freaked out in these just because my razor rides like lower. And so it's so tall that every time it tilts, I'm like,
I don't know that I want to do that anymore.
Yeah. No, it's fine. I'm keeping my hands in. But it is one thing that's a major difference.
We're exploring out here, so I don't know what is where. So I probably have to get out and actually look.
I think we just go up that ridge, if I'm not mistaken.
Like right up here?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
But anyways, as I was saying, you do have this massive influx of people, and to me, that is just, don't hate me, side-by-side people, but it's a group of, you know, uneducated people that kind of need to be shepherded into the right direction rather than ostracized.
I think so. Yep.
And it's, I get it. It's hard. I've seen people in my own community that, like, I'm like, I don't really want to do this with you either, to be honest. But I've also felt the same thing from Jeeps too. It's just, there's less, I think, total.
Yeah. If that exists in every community, I think so. Yeah. But yeah. But no, I think you're right. There's an education thing, but there's also people that just don't care.
Yep.
In every group.
Yeah.
So yeah. Well,
and we even see that in Little Ol' here when, as they say, Vegas comes to town for the circus. I can't remember. Somebody said, I don't think it's Vegas. Don't get mad at me, Vegas people. But when we have these bigger events that bring in a lot of outside people, we end up with things like people driving on the Flintstone house and stuff like that. And then being belligerent when people try to say, like, that's not cool.
That's not really the line. Yeah, don't do that. Yeah.
That's not the line. Yeah. Yeah. The line does not go over the top of the monument, for sure.
Exactly. Oh, my gosh. Sorry, I'm just going to shift it real quick. I think that there's an element of that. You know, it's funny. Rich actually pointed out just before Trail Hero, I think, Rich was on his Tuesday or Thursday show weekly show.
Yeah.
And basically said, hey, guys, we just got a call. I got a call from, you know, the, you know, Department of Public Safety or Utah. UDOT.
Yeah.
And UDOT has seen people, you know, driving over the fence to get into Sand Hollow from the freeway.
Oh, jeez.
So what's the immediate reaction?
Oh, I can tell you. It's us. Everybody thinks it's us.
Everybody.
I mean, side by sides.
Everybody immediately, and I'll be honest, guys, myself included, was like, who are the side by side guys that did that?
Hold on a second, though. I want to point something out. If it was the side-by-side guys, how did they get there? Because they're technically not allowed on US 7.
No, you're right. You're right. So
when you guys said that, that was my first thought. I was like, well, who unloads on the side of the road? Anyway, sorry. Carry on.
So that's something, as an education point, I didn't even know. So I didn't know that they're not allowed on there. Who knows? So sure enough, Rich says they were all Jeeps.
Every one of them.
Yeah.
So I think people sort of swallowed their pride a little bit there and said,
yeah.
maybe we judged too soon.
Yeah.
So,
well, the similar thing happened with the, I feel like I'm beating a dead horse, but the concrete. You know, on the maze and on that. There was so much. Everybody was certain that it was the side-by-side guys again. And they were certain of it, 100%. And it was not.
It wasn't.
Yep.
That's about all I'm going to say about that. I'm not delving any further into that.
That's fine.
Yep.
We don't need to go in it, but I'm just saying that's just to accentuate a point of I think that there is – I think that there's some jumping to conclusions that I'm trying to figure out how do I interact with people in a way that is going to like maybe cause some pause before we jump to that kind of conclusion.
Right. Exactly. Yep. No, I think people do need to just stop and think before making rash assumptions, myself included. So, yeah.
Well, I need to do the same because, you know, I make some assumptions that Jeeps are slow and then I ride in this. And it's not. It cruises.
It just goes, you know.
Yeah.
usually better when I can actually see where I'm going a little bit, but
or know the trail.
Or know the trail. I have no idea except for the map that I'm following. So yep. I think I'm going to take this out by Unforgiven, and then we'll take the road all the way back. What's it called? Trying to think of what the name of that trail is. Razzle Dazzle.
Yeah, the one that runs down by the fence line.
Yes, exactly. So
okay.
So we'll head out there, and then this will be a kind of our epic whirlwind adventure around the park. So
yeah, this is cool. I've never been on this side. I've been on this side, but not this far over. I just to kind of wrap things up. I'm curious what you think as like a Jeep owner. I feel like I kind of know what a side-by-side person can do. For me, it's going up and just talking to Jeep owners. And like I was telling you before we started this, you know, it seems to make a huge difference to me when we're sitting in the parking lot and I see a Jeep roll in, for me to, instead of just going up and being like, oh, this is cool, tell me about it. If I can come and say like, dude, I like that you got a trust and shaved 14 volt, you know, and like kind of speak the language.
Yeah, that helps. I mean, no doubt that helps, but.
I'm curious what you think from the Jeep side of things would be beneficial to help kind of, you know, the UTV people feel included or feel comfortable to make that kind of, like, approach people like that.
I don't know. I think people just have to feel confident that they are part of this off-road community and that there is a community and that we are the same.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? We all have four wheels, well, except for the motorcycle guys.
Except for the bikers.
Those bikers, dastardly bikers. So outside of them, but no, I think it's really important for people to just approach each other rather than trying to act like everybody knows everything, you know, like we know the truth and you guys suck, you know.
Yep.
That's never a good thing. So I think it's important to kind of respect each other at the end of the day. And I, you know what's interesting? I wanted to touch on this, actually, because I think okay. that this is fascinating. Different topic altogether.
That's fine.
Dude. Ultra 4, let's talk about, is it Kyle Chaney?
Yeah, that can't end this year.
You know, okay, so he cut the course a little bit, maybe according to Dave, a lot, but he finished first, and dude, that was amazing.
That was all anybody watched for like a month straight was him coming off that ledge, burying the front end and just keeping on.
I couldn't believe it. I was glued. I could not stop watching that. It was epic. It's like dragging his axle behind him or yep. something too, or I forget what it was, but man, that was, so that thing, I think that did something, relative to, you know, side by sides.
Yeah.
Because all of a sudden people are like, wait, what?
Yeah.
A side by side can not only finish, but can finish first.
Yep. Like,
that's crazy. So.
Well, and it's kind of wild to think about that in comparison to like those, just the insane builds that are out there. Like,
uh-huh.
Lauren Healy's. Like,
oh, Lauren Healy's crazy. Yeah.
Like that Bronco is just wild. But it's cool for me. Obviously, I'm, you know, home team rah rah to see. Side by sides go out and just hang with the big cars. You know, it's crazy.
I'm really interested to see what happens this year because, you know, I think it was shocking to Dave. I think it was shocking to so many people that it happened and the way that it happened. You know, I don't know. What was it shocking to you?
Yeah. I mean, no. Yes, yes and no. But it seems to me that the biggest thing with the side-by-sides has kind of been keeping them together.
Right. Yeah.
But, like, as far as this finishing first thing, like, I'm going to be honest. They're freaking jacked up, you know, they're roided up golf carts built for blasting across the desert.
Exactly.
They are going to be quick. I don't care what you say. But the staying together part, yeah, that part surprised me for sure.
I was shocked. I mean, all due respect to Can-Am and whoever else was a part of that. I was shocked. I think wasn't Terry co-driving for him or something?
I don't remember.
I forget. Terry Madden? I forget. Anyway, it was just, it was epic. I was like blown away by that.
Yeah.
So,
I'm really excited for the upcoming one because we have a local guy, Michael. Well, we have a couple local guys that race.
Yeah, Michael Lee.
He's going to go tear it
up.
I'm so stoked to see that, man.
Exactly. There's so many guys in this area. There's so many Ultra 4 people or people that are connected. It's funny. I was actually in I could talk for hours, by the way. Sorry.
It's fine. I'm here for it. Let's do it.
So I was actually in Costco, and I was wearing my sweatshirt that I got at KOH, and this guy walks up to me, and I'm like, I don't know who this guy is, right? He walks up, and he's got like a NASCAR thing on or whatever, and turns out that this gentleman actually – I think he was a NASCAR racer for like 23 years, and he won Baja,
really?
I think like 7 times, like the Baja 1000.
Yeah.
And so I'm just, dude, these people are like there. They're all over, yeah,
they're
all
among
over
us.
The place. They're among us. It's just mind-boggling to me. And so I was, here we are. We're friends on Facebook.
Yep.
You know, he wants to go out and go wheeling and whatnot. So people like that are all over the place. And then there's also all kinds of racers that are like serious, what is it? 4400 class folks. So, yeah, dude.
Well, not only the racing side of things, too, but even from like the slow world, I mean, we have so many people here with rear steer buggies that like doing the Wee Rock stuff.
Wee Rock, yeah. Dave and all those
Dave
guys.
Wong, yeah.
Dave Wong, amazing guy. Yep.
This sounds like a little love
this
fest.
This commercial
for Sand
is
Hollow.
Brought to you by
for Sand Hollow. But
I think we should be going that way. I don't know.
Kind of feels like it.
It feels like I'm off a little bit, but my wife says I'm off all the time. So anyway,
right on.
Let's see if this is the right way or not.
Well, we're gonna try and figure our way out of here. Let's wrap this up and see if we can navigate. But is there anything you want to plug, man? Other than, Instagram, Aqua Jeep Guy on Instagram.
Aqua Jeep Guy, but aquajeepgirl.com, that's my wife. We love it here. We love wheeling. We love being inclusive and all of the various folks that we get to go out with. And it's a blessing to be here, dude. It is a straight up legit blessing to be able to wheel in this area. And, man. I don't know what else to say. Thanks for watching.
Yeah.
And we'll talk soon, I guess.
Okay, man.
So.
Let's wrap it up. Okay, we'll see if we can get out of here.